today, that Lord, that you would have our hearts. Have our hearts, God. Lord, do everything that you want to do in every single life today. Lord, we are really hungry for you. Lord, we want you more than any other. Lord, you're our heart's desire today, God. Lord, there's nothing we want more. Lord, and we thank you for your presence. Your presence that changes lives. Lord, your presence that makes us whole. God, your presence that flushes away, Lord, everything that would come against your will and your desire, God, for our lives. Oh, God, let your presence, Lord, be known in this place. Let Jesus be known in this place today. Lord, we love you and we worship you. Lord, we set our hearts on you and we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that as I share your word, God, today, Lord, that you would speak and you would encourage, you would challenge, and you would do what you want to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You can take your seats. Thank you. Well, it's so, so good to be with you. As Carla said, it's great to meet new people and to make friends. And our plan is that this connection, this friendship that started with Pastors Andy and Gina would just continue and would continue to grow. And we know that God's got plans that go way beyond ours, right? I mean, we make our plans and he directs our paths. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. You know, I'm always making plans, but I'm really happy for God to direct my paths. So we're Stuart and Carla and Lola. And as Carla said, there's two boys back at home. Well, they're hardly boys anymore. They're kind of young men. Elliot's got his driving test on Tuesday. That's our 17-year-old. He wants the world to know. probably not. You know, it's so good to go from you know, our church that we're mostly there most Sundays, but then to come here. And it just feels like coming home again. Just feels like family. So thank you for the welcome that you've given us today. Thank you, especially Judith, San, Andrea, for your welcome, for your hospitality, which is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So we're grateful to God and so grateful to have the opportunity to share his word with you today. I asked God to show me what he wanted me to share with you today. In fact, I asked Judith first what she wanted me to share, and she just said, ask the Lord. So I did that, and so what I share today, I believe, is a word from God for us here in Kingdom Faith Southwest, Taunton. And our second time to Taunton, the first time we came was when Elliot, our second son, was about a year old, no less than that, wasn't he? He was a baby, and we were on holiday in Lyme Regis, as you do, and we ran out of baby formula, and the only place we could buy the special formula that he was on was Asda in Taunton. So we drove nearly as far as we came from Portsmouth to Lyme Regis to Asda in Taunton to get this baby formula, but we were grateful because he went from a wailing baby to a satisfied baby at that point. So there's so much more we could say. Yeah, we've been walking with Andy and Gina for 28 years. That's the age of Family Church. And we joined literally just months after Andy and Gina planted the church. I've served in various capacities. Worship leader for 11 years, for the first 11 years of the church. I didn't want to. Pastor Andy just told me that the girl that was playing the guitar at the time was leaving, and that was now my job. I said, but I've never even played and sung at the same time. And he said, well, you better learn then. and we've served as assistant pastors, associate pastors. Our current role is executive pastors. And Pastor Andy and Gina, they are moving into a new chapter of their ministry in February. And in February, we step into the role of senior pastors. And that's a big thing. Big thing for the church, 28 years of having the same senior pastors. And in February, Andy and Gina hand over the baton to us, and we're not them, and we're not going to try to be them, but we're going to be the very best us that we can be. And we know that in this next chapter, this next season of the church, that's what God wants us to be.
And so we're excited about the future. We're excited about Andy and Gina's future as they're released to travel more, to take Soul Winner to the nations, and to serve as apostolic covering to many, many churches. And the relationship that Pastor Andy and Gina have with Judith and Andrea and the team here is just a really special one. And he's always talking about Kingdom Faith Southwest and Andrea and Judith and everything that you guys are doing. So it's really good to see it in person as well. So I'm not going to take any more time with introductions. I want to get straight into my message today. And the title of my message is In Between. In Between. And I said to Carla on the way here, I said, so what do you think... What do you think I'm going to talk about? And she said, oh, maybe like in between, you know, when you've prayed for the miracle and when you're waiting for the miracle. I said, no, not that. And she had a couple of other guesses. But what I'm talking about today is simply the time in between the leaving of Jesus to the coming or the returning of Jesus. So that's quite a long time. And it has been quite a long time so far. But in John chapters 13 to 16... Jesus, during and after the Last Supper, he's talking with his disciples. And there is a lot recorded in John chapters 13 to 16 about what Jesus is saying. And he tells his disciples that he's going to leave them and go to the Father, and that he will return. He promises that he will return at the time appointed by the Father. He gave his disciples some instructions about this in-between time. And I want to just share with you today some instructions that I believe are from Jesus for us as we live in this season of life, this time in between the leaving and the returning of Jesus. Jesus warned his disciples that they would face persecutions and trials, but he also promised them that he would not leave them alone as orphans and that he would send the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would come and he would help them, that he would bring comfort, that he would coach them, that he would guide them into all truth, that he would teach them what they need to know, that he would empower them. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit in the disciples' lives, in our lives today. Amen? And we've got to take that seriously. God is with us. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will walk with us every day. And what an amazing thing to have God's help in everyday life. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That peace comes in the form of God with us by the Holy Spirit. So we're living in this in-between time, in between the leaving and the returning of Jesus. And we've been given the Holy Spirit to bring peace to our lives, to comfort us and to guide us, to empower us. And then today I just want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, because Jesus shared this parable with his disciples and he talked about this time in between the leaving and the returning. So Matthew 25 verses 14 to 30. We're going to read the whole thing and then we're going to come back to various verses as we go through this morning. So Father, I thank you that as I speak your word, Lord, your word is powerful and living. Lord, it becomes powerful and living as you breathe by your Holy Spirit. Lord, upon your word, as I speak it today, thank you, Lord, that it moves from being the incredible wisdom and the logic of God to being the rhema of God as it hits our hearts, as you breathe it in to our lives. Father, thank you, Lord, that we'll be inspired, Lord, and equipped by your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30 says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, "Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, so we're not going to focus on that last bit so much. But what we're going to talk about is, I want to share 6 things for living well during the in-between time. 6 things for living well during the in-between time. And we're going to start with verse 14. And it says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country," this is of Matthew 25, "who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." Okay, so he called his own what? Servants. Okay, so the first thing we need to understand is we need to know our role. We need to know our role. Now, I know I'm a child of God. One of my favorite pictures is the parable of the prodigal son. And I regularly see myself as that son just in the father's arms, just being held in the father's arms, loved by the father. It's a good place to be. But my role in God's kingdom is that I am a servant. And I'm not just any servant. He called his own servants. So I'm a servant of Jesus. So the master in this parable, in this story that Jesus told to teach this spiritual lesson is Jesus. The master is Jesus and the servant is you and I. Okay? So and we're servants of Jesus. He called his own servants. So that's your job title today. Your job title is servant of Jesus. Maybe turn to someone near you and say, "I'm a servant of Jesus." Okay, this is good. And if you're not yet a servant of Jesus, maybe today you'll become a servant of Jesus. And whatever God's called you to do in his kingdom, you're first and foremost a servant of Jesus. And, you know, there are some people that are doing amazing things in God's kingdom. And there's some people that have some incredible positions in the kingdom of God. But you've got to keep Jesus at the very center, haven't you? You've got to keep Jesus at the center. You are first and foremost a servant of Jesus. We are not here to serve ourselves. Amen. We're not here to serve people. We are here to serve Jesus. The way that Jesus does it, though, he delegates authority. He puts people in positions of authority over our lives. And actually, the way that we serve other people is a good indicator of where we're at with Jesus. And I want to encourage you today, know your role. Know your role in God's kingdom. You are a servant of Jesus Christ. And that will help you be okay with serving others who are in positions of authority in your life, in your workplace, in your home, in the church setting. It's okay to serve people, but ultimately you're serving Jesus, aren't you? So the way that we honor authority, the way that we serve authority shows our heart towards Jesus, I believe. So that's the first point. Nice, simple one. So first of all, we've got to know our role. Secondly, as we live in this time in between, we've got to understand our responsibilities. So this, you could say that the understanding your responsibilities is knowing your job description as a servant of Jesus Christ. So it says in verse 15, it says, "And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability." That's interesting, isn't it? So they were given this money Talents, forget that talents is like your abilities. Talents is money in this parable. So they were given money. One was given 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, each according to his ability. And immediately the master went on a journey. Now, money represents responsibility, okay? In the kingdom of God, we have all been given different responsibilities. And that's what the money here represents. Now, they were given this responsibility according to their ability. You know, all of us have different abilities, don't we? I've got different abilities to you. I can do stuff you can't do, but you can do a whole load of stuff that I can't do. And that's okay. That's a good thing, actually. That's the way it works in life. In this world, in definitely in the kingdom of God, that we each have different responsibilities. So when the master gave money, he gave responsibility according to his servant's ability. And that's okay. It's okay that someone has different responsibilities to you because they have different abilities to you. Now, the servant who had the greatest ability was given the largest responsibility. He was given the 5 talents. And I want you to know today that God knows you. And I remember being a teenager in church, and I remember my pastor prophesying one Sunday morning about how God knew us so incredibly intimately. And I remember him saying this phrase, "The Holy Spirit knows you better than you know yourself." And that is very true, isn't it? God knows us better than we know ourselves. He was there when we were formed in the womb. He was watching over us. When every day of our lives to come was written in his book. Like, how amazing is that? So God knows us. He knows your personality. He knows your quirks that come with your personality. He knows mine. He knows your skills, the skills that you've acquired in life. He knows the experiences that you've gone through in life. He knows the natural talents that he placed in you. He knows the spiritual gifts that he's put in you. God knows what he's doing. So when he gives you responsibility, God knows what he's doing. And I've often been in the place in life where I felt that the responsibilities that God has given me have been, "God, you do not know what you're doing. This is way too much for me. I can't handle this." And, you know, I'm insecure. I'm afraid. But God knows what he's doing. And I have to remind myself of that. He wouldn't be giving me this, opening this door for me, giving me this responsibility if he didn't know me as he does. But also, I think sometimes we stand there and think, "Is this it, God? Is this all you've got me to do? Stacking chairs after church on a Sunday? Is this my ultimate responsibility that you've got for me?" And what I would say to you regarding whatever that is, if you think it's too little, then just trust God. Trust God that he knows what he's doing. Don't let pride or jealousy cause you to be unsettled in the things that God is giving you, but be faithful with the things that God is giving you. Because as we're going to find out in a minute, as we are faithful with the things that God gives us, more responsibility will come. Be careful what you ask for when it comes to responsibility in God's kingdom. Now, of course, when it comes to our job description as servants of Jesus, when it comes to our responsibilities, there are some standards across the board. You know, on all of our church job descriptions, the last clause in our job description says, "and anything else that we need you to do," basically, is what it says on all of them. Whether it should or not, I don't know, but it does. And so there's some standards on our job descriptions. For example, we're all responsible for character development, right? I heard that once heard that you should never allow your gifting to take you where your character can't keep you, and that's the trouble in the celebrity kingdom of God. There are many whose gifting takes them to high places, but their character doesn't keep them there. So we're all called to be like Christ. When I read Galatians 5 and I see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All those 9 segments of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is a description of Jesus Christ. It's the character of Christ which reveals the nature of God. And that's what God's called us to grow in our lives. And we can't do that on our own, can we? We need the Holy Spirit working and producing that fruit in our lives. So character development. Another standard in all of our job descriptions is living set apart in this world. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we need to work out what that means. We need to work out how to be incredible representatives of God's kingdom, how to infiltrate society with the kingdom of God, yet at the same time not lower our standards to the way that the world thinks and does things. Another standard on all of our job descriptions is that we're called to go. God has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us, it's on there. It's on your job description as a servant of Jesus Christ. So we better just start doing those things, taking the good news, making disciples. You know, Matthew 28:19-20, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. So we've all been called to make disciples. In other words, help people move from just being believers in Jesus to walking closely with Jesus as disciples and learning to live as he's called them to live. Amen. That's standard on all of our job descriptions. Every one of us is called to be a disciple maker. As soon as you're born again, as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, you're on a journey of discipleship and you can take others with you as well. And being planted in God's house, it's on your job description. As a servant of Jesus, he has called you to be planted in the house of God. And we understand that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. The courts are the area outside the house. So if you want to flourish in life, if you want to flourish in the world where God has placed you, you've got to be planted in the house of God. It's quite simple. What does that mean? Well, it means serving, engaging, connecting. It means fellowship. It means attending. it's all of those things. And I really believe that as we do those things, just all the rest will fall into place. And we also have unique responsibilities. So there's some standards there. But on your job description as a servant of Jesus, there are some unique responsibilities that God's given you. It's called the work of ministry. I mean, all of that we've talked about is the work of ministry, but we've all been called to do the work of ministry. Yes. And the job of the church leaders is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So where's God called you to be a minister? Maybe God's called you to education. Maybe God's called you to the music industry. Maybe God's called you to the workplace. Maybe he's called you to business. He wants you to be his minister in that setting. Amen? In your home, he wants you to be his minister. Ministry is simply serving Jesus. This is set apart people serving him, using what you've got to serve Jesus. Maybe he wants you to be his minister in the health sector, in the local community, in government. In society around you, maybe in your friendships, he wants you to be his minister. Ministry is not this. It is this, but it's not just this. This is just a small part of it. What you do in church is a small part of the ministry that God's called you to. Amen? And so let's be ready and open to see what Jesus wants us to do in terms of our specific responsibilities. So that's the second point. That was a bit longer, that one. So number one, know your role. In this in-between time, you've got to know your role. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. Number two, know your responsibilities, the standards and the unique responsibilities that you have. Number three, get on with it. Because it says at the end of verse 15, it says the master immediately went on a long journey. And then in verse 16, which is now on the screen, it says, then he who had received the five talents. So as soon as the master went on the journey, then he who had received the five talents went and did something with them. So you've got to do something with the responsibility that God's given you. And what did he do? Well, he made another five talents. And the same with the one that was given two talents. And then verse 18, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. We'll come back to that in just a second. But what I would say is, even if you're not sure about your unique responsibilities, there's lots that we can be getting on with. Character, being set apart, going, making disciples. There's so much that we can be getting on with. whilst we work out what our specific responsibilities are. And what I've found is that as I'm faithful to do what I know I need to do, what I know Jesus has given me, all the rest, it will come. I'll work it out. And normally I don't even need to work it out. It will just come to me. And as long as I'm brave enough to step into it, then that's fine. It's just going to work itself out. So if the master thinks you're able, you have a choice. You either believe what he says or you reject what he says. And if you believe what the master says to you, you know, I've called you to serve me in this way. These are your responsibilities. Then when you believe that, you're full of faith in your master. Or you could say you'll be faithful to your master. Faithful. Full of faith, right? And I just think that's just what faithfulness is. It's just believing what Jesus has said he wants you to do, both the standard and the unique, and then getting on and doing it. And that makes you a faithful person. And the thing is, he's not looking, when he gives you your assignment, your job description, he's not looking at your human ability. Thank goodness for that. He's seeing what we as these earthen vessels are able to do with the Holy Spirit's help. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, then we would be nothing. We can do nothing without him. I think Jesus made that quite clear, didn't he, in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. And so we've got to learn to abide in him and allow his presence, his Holy Spirit, to abide in our lives. A couple of verses from John 14, verse 26, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about this in-between time. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the help we need comes from God himself by his Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8, you know this one, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses." You shall receive power. So all the power, all the ability that we need, it comes from the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, for me, I've got to get better at throwing myself at the feet of Jesus and saying, "Jesus, I can't do this, but I know you've called me. I'm full of faith in what you've asked me to do. So therefore, give me your Spirit. Not by power or might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." Amen? You know, this is how things get built. It's how the temple in Nehemiah's time got built. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Nehemiah's time, Zerubbabel's time. So, so don't wait and don't hide. I don't know, there's some of us have a natural tendency to want to hide away. What I would say is when you work with someone like Andy Elms for 28 years, you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. That's what I've found over the years. So don't let fear hold you back. Don't compare yourself with other people. And don't wait until you feel ready, because you probably will never feel ready. You will never feel ready for the things that Jesus has got in mind for you. So don't hide, don't fear, don't wait until you feel ready. And I've realized that it takes a lot of energy to walk in fear. It takes a lot of energy to hide away from the plan of God for your life. I mean, ask Jonah. It takes a lot of energy. It can consume you, literally. And look at the third servant here. He's given this one talent, this small bit of responsibility according to his ability. But he doesn't do anything with it. He digs a hole in the ground. That takes effort. It takes effort to hide. It takes effort to walk in fear and insecurity. So he digs a hole in the ground. He buries it. And then he's just bored. And he's boring until the master comes back. Yeah. So if you're hiding from the plan of God for your life, if you're hiding from your responsibilities, you're going to get bored and you're boring. So stop it. It's good when you're in another church. You can, like, just say stuff, can't you? But it takes a lot of energy to do nothing, to walk in fear, to compare yourself to others. That's draining. Oh, my word, it's draining as you just walk in comparison all the time. The other thing I've realized is that your now is directly related to your next. What you're doing now is actually preparation for your next. You'll never reach your next if you don't start moving now. Amen? And so bear that in mind when it comes to being a servant of Jesus and having responsibilities that we've just talked about, maybe some very unique responsibilities to your life. Get on with what he's given you now, and then the next door will open. Here's a couple of shorter points. Number four is this: be patient. So it says in verse 19, be patient. So it says in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, when it comes to the second coming of Jesus, we don't know when this will take place, but it's been a long time so far. According to 2 Peter 3 verse 9, the Father is actually being really patient with us when it comes to sending Jesus. He's patient because it's his heart, his desire, that all should come to repentance. So he's given humanity a chance to make their peace with him. That's why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Now, in my experience on the journey of life, there are many times when Jesus comes to me and says, "So how's it going? How are you doing with what I've given you?" But sometimes it feels like what he's given me, I'm being faithful with it. And it's like, "Jesus, I'm ready for you to come and see how I'm doing now, because I think I've completed this mission. I think I've accomplished what you've asked me to do. Like, why is Jesus being so slow at asking me, how's it going?" And during these times, we need to remain faithful or full of faith in the assignment that God has given us. And we need to learn to exercise great patience. Now, I know patience probably comes very naturally to members of Kingdom Faith Church here. But I don't know, Family Church, it feels like, it's something we're still working on. But I think faith and patience are actually best friends, aren't they? You know, you can't do patience well without having faith. And you can't do faith well without having patience. The two work hand in hand. And I don't know exactly, there's not a science to it. This is a theological thing. It's a God thing. But what I do know is that as I remain in faith and as I exercise patience with faith, then I'm doing what I'm meant to do. And suddenly Jesus comes and says, "Right, good job. You've achieved this mission. You've accomplished what I've asked you to do. Now let's talk about what's next." And that's generally how it works. The other thing I've noticed is that my attitude is often connected with the length of time that I carry certain responsibilities. It's like Jesus is just like waiting there, just waiting for me to sort my attitude out. And once I've sorted my attitude out, then he comes and says, "Right, now let's talk about what's next." So if you know that Jesus is waiting for you to sort your attitude out, just get it sorted. And then he can move you on to what's next. So number five, so the fifth thing. So what have we had so far? You've got to know your role, know your responsibilities, get on with it, be patient. Number five, be accountable. Now, we don't like that word, do we? But so let's talk about it. So it says in verse 20, "So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me to me the five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents beside them.'" So there is an expectation in God's kingdom for accountability. Amen? Being accountable for the responsibilities that we've been given is so important. It will help keep us on track. Imagine yourself as a runner running around a running track. Being accountable helps keep you on track. It helps you run your best race. And it stops you from running off and doing the things that God has not called you to do. You know, sometimes doing good things for God can be the biggest problem in our lives, because the good things that we're doing are not what God's called us to do, and they can massively distract us. So we've got to be prayerful. We've got to be accountable in the way that we conduct our Christian lives. It's good to have people in our lives that we're accountable for. In Forge Ministry School, which is the part-time ministry school that we run in Portsmouth, every one of our students has to have a mentor, and they have to meet with their mentor twice every term, so six times a year, which doesn't feel like much, but getting them to do that, you know, it's a challenge sometimes. And they have to fill out a mentoring form to just kind of let us know that it's happened and the gist of it. But some of them, those that have really engaged with that process, have found it so very beneficial, massively beneficial, because it makes them accountable for the way that they're living their lives, for the decisions they're making, for their Christian character and their conduct, and for the goals that they have for their lives. So accountability is really important. And the truth is that every one of us one day will be required to give an account to our master for how we've used the responsibilities that he gave us. So maybe it would be good to start doing that in a voluntary way now. So find someone in your life that you can be accountable to, and get used to the fact that that's part of what Jesus wants from you. And then the last thing that I want to talk about today is be ready. Be ready. So know your role, understand your responsibilities, get on with it, be patient, be accountable, be ready. Be ready for what's next. So we've got to be ready for the return of Jesus. But actually what I'm talking about is be ready for what's next. Verse 21 says this: his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So being faithful with the responsibilities that you have in this chapter of your life will make way for the next chapter. If you can't be faithful with what you've been given now, you will never step into the next chapter. It will be like your life is on pause in terms of your spiritual responsibility in God's kingdom. Faithfulness always produces promotion. And, you know, I've been doing a bit of reflecting recently about the journey over these last 28 years that we've been on. And I've realized that I've never asked for a position. I've never asked for more responsibility. I've often asked to not have more responsibility. right? But I've never asked for more responsibility. But the thing is, it just happens. As you're faithful with what you've been given, you will be promoted in the kingdom of God. Now, we're not faithful to be promoted. That's not how it works. We're faithful because as servants of Jesus, we want to do the right thing with what he's called us to do. But that faithfulness will always lead to promotion in his kingdom. And in Luke 16, verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Faithful with what it is least is faithful in much. So if you can be trusted with the small responsibilities that you have now, Jesus can trust you with the bigger things that are to come. So promotion in God's kingdom, it's not about position. Get that out of your head. It's not about position. It's not about power. It's not about popularity. It's not about money. It's not about title. It's not about any of those things. Faithfulness in God's kingdom is simply about receiving more responsibility. But every stage of that journey, your job title does not change. My job title will not change as we step into our new role. I remain a servant of Jesus. That's what it is all the way through. Amen? So the question is, are you ready for what's next? Are you ready for what's next? And only you can answer that. And I encourage you, just keep doing the things that you know God has called you to do, and he will open the doors for what's next. It's about being entrusted by Jesus with more responsibility in his kingdom. So let's just make sure that he knows that we're a trustworthy people. And then just lastly, on that last verse there, it talks about entering into the joy of your Lord. I believe it brings great joy to the heart of God as we're faithful with what he's given us. And we get to share in that joy as we're faithful with what he's given us. You know, that burden of responsibility, as that grows, also the joy grows as well. And the key is, as we were talking about over dinner last night, the key is just stay so close to Jesus. Just stay so close to him. I've had this huge revelation about God's grace in recent times, and I've realized that just walking closely with Jesus just brings more grace. It brings more grace. You know, that picture of the oxen in Matthew 11, the mature ox that knows what it's doing, that's Jesus. The immature ox that runs around like a crazy man, not really knowing what he's doing, that's me. But if I yoke myself to Jesus, if I get so close and so connected to him, where he goes, I will go. And the things that I'm carrying in life, the weights, the responsibilities, the burdens, they become light. They become easy because I'm just so close to Jesus. And that's how I want to finish today's message, really, is just to encourage you as you consider this in-between time, as you consider this time that we're living in right now, as we wait for the return of Jesus. And who knows when that will be, but what I know is that God's called us to be his servants in this time. You are a servant of Jesus. He's given you responsibility, and I want to encourage you to get on with it. Get on with it. Stop sitting back. Stop waiting for the opportunities to come. Just find that standard. Find that responsibility that you know that you need to get on with and start serving Jesus. If you are not planted, really planted in this house, get yourself so planted like never before, because you will see the rest of your life will flourish as you plant yourself in the house of God. It's just a fact. It's the way it works. Amen. So, and, you know, and worship Jesus, get close to Jesus. So I just want to just finish actually by asking if you would just connect with one of those points that I've shared today. So what I'd like to do first of all is, before I do that, hopefully if you're here and you've never made your peace with God by saying yes to Jesus, you've heard today that God has a plan for your life. You've heard today that God wants to be working deeply and meaningfully in your life, but he cannot do that if there is a barrier between you and him. That barrier is called sin. It's everything that separates us from God. But because of Jesus, because Jesus gave his life on the cross, he took our sin. And the Bible is very clear that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. If you believe in Jesus, if you simply put your faith in Jesus, you can stand right before God and have your peace with God, because he has a plan for you, and you are missing out. You are missing out on the plan and the purpose of God for your life if you don't make your peace with God. So could we just do one thing before we begin to close today, and that is just to pray this prayer of invitation. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and say these words just after me. Maybe everyone can speak these words out aloud today. Make it our prayer as a collective today. Say, Dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I turn away from my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and you make me new. I surrender to you and want you to be Lord of my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live a life that honors you. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Would you just keep your heads bowed just for a moment? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you have just made your peace with God. Maybe you've been wandering away from God, from his plan for your life, and you've just prayed that prayer, and you've made your peace with God. What an amazing thing to walk in peace with God. Would you do one more thing for me? Just raise your hand high in the air. Say, yeah, that's me. I prayed that prayer today. I have made my peace with God. I want to take his path for my life. Anyone in this room today? That's your prayer. It's your prayer today. Thank you. Thank you so much. Anyone else today? Praise God. Awesome. Let me just pray. Father, thank you that you have a plan for every single person in this room. Father, thank you, Lord, for this person who raised their hand. Father, today I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for his life. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are watching over them. And Father, I thank you that today, Lord, this is another step on your journey. Lord, that you are working deeply and wonderfully in his life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. San, could you just come and play? And just maybe San for a minute. But just I just want to ask all of you this morning. Praise God for a hand raised today as well. Hey, wonderful. So I just want to ask this morning, if you want to connect with one of those points that I've raised today, just wherever you're at in your walk with God, maybe today you need to take a fresh look at your role. Remember that you're a servant of Jesus. Maybe today you are committing to understand your responsibilities as a servant of Jesus. Maybe today you realize that you've been sitting back, that you have just been kind of drifting, but today you're committing to get on with it. Maybe today you realize that you've been lacking patience, you've just been frustrated, that you've not really been applying patience as you've been serving God, and today you want God to help you to be more patient in this journey. Maybe today you realize that you need to be accountable. You realize that you need to be accountable to a human being, not just to Jesus, but to someone in your life who you can talk to, you can be vulnerable with, open up to, and they can help as you journey with Jesus. And maybe today you realize that God is asking you to take on more responsibility, but you're not quite ready. And you're committing now to be ready to say yes to what Jesus has for you next. Would you stand with me today? And I just want to pray for each of you. I just want to pray. And even maybe we can use this space at the front here as an altar, as a space where you can come forward. You don't have to, but you can come forward and you can stand in this space and you can say, God, this is where I'm at and this is what I want you to do in my life. And I come before you today and I give this part of my life to you in a fresh way. So as I pray, you can just come forward if you want to. But Father, I thank you for each and every person in this room. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are working in every life. Lord, that the work that you want to do is so deep and it's so meaningful and it's so powerful, Lord. It's beyond what we could ever comprehend. Lord, Father, for each one who just needs to understand that you've called them to be your servant, oh God, may that word just resound today in their heart, a servant of Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who need to understand and take seriously the responsibilities, Lord, that you have given each one of us today, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that we would take seriously the responsibilities that you've given us. For those that are drifting, I pray, Father, that there would be an intentionality about their lives from this moment forward. Lord, that we would say yes, not just to the responsibilities, but to getting on with what you've called us to do. Lord, that we would trust you, that we wouldn't compare, that we wouldn't dig holes in fear, but God, that we would trust you, that what you've given us is not too much, it's not too little, it's just right. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for patience. Thank you for accountability. Father, thank you, Lord, that we are a people, Lord, who when you say, this is what I've got for you next, Lord, we don't say maybe, we don't say later on, but we say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, God. We say yes, Lord. Lord, that's my heart today. Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's not by might or by power, but it's by your Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer today. Should we lift our hands to the Lord?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.